All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the NRL Hunter podcast. I am here with three very cool dudes, the Miernicki family. Gentlemen, do you guys want to introduce yourself?
I'm Tyler Mernicki. I'm 14 years old.
I'm Trey Mernicki, and I'm 11 years old.
And I'm Dad, Ted Mernicki, and we'll keep that age secret for now.
So this is actually the very first podcast we have ever done on the NRL Hunter show with two of our active competing young guns. So this is a very exciting and a little bit nervous podcast for me, though.
Definitely a little nerve-wracking for us too.
I'm a little
We've never
nervous.
done a podcast before, so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm super stoked that you guys decided to come on the show. For everyone out there that's listening, the NRL Hunter has a special division called the Young Guns. And the Young Guns is exactly what it sounds like. It's for our youth that's coming up in the sport so that they can compete against each other, learn from each other, play together, have fun together, go experience these different events together. And these are two of the I want to say badass. Am I allowed to say badass,
Absolutely.
Dad? These are two of the most badass kids that are young guns that I've had the pleasure of hanging out with over the past couple of seasons. So I'm super stoked to have you guys up here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. So why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves, how you got started, why, so on and so forth. Tyler, Trey, whichever one you guys want to kind of start off.
I started at the NRL Ghost Hunter, the first one, and forgot my rangefinders. So Sig and or Sig Sauer hooked me up. Ben and Sammy, they hooked me up with the 10Ks, and I got to use those for my first match. And it was really cool prototype. It was first young gun to ever use the 10Ks in a match.
Nice. That must have been exciting for you.
It was really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but we were at the sight-in day, and I'd never met you before. And I turned to you and I said, "Travis, my son just told me he forgot his rangefinders in Colorado." And you immediately turned to Ben and said, "Ben, can we help this young man out?" And it was Ben and Sammy from Sig Sauer have just been unbelievable, great dudes. They're at almost every event, and they've just been so helpful. They helped Tyler with, I mean, they helped him true his ballistics on that range finder, and it was awesome. It was a great way to start the event.
You got a little bit of a advantage over everybody else starting off.
Yeah, it was, yep, I did. It
Ghost
was hard though. Ghost Hunter's a really hard match.
Hunter
I like
is
it.
a tough match, but I see that you guys are coming back in 2024 for the Ghost Hunter, so I'm excited to see how you guys perform out there.
Yep.
That's probably my favorite match. Besides Laramie last year, that's my favorite match.
Nice. Yeah, it's definitely one of my top 10 for sure. It's a great match. Hopefully we'll be able to get to finish this year. I don't know if
Yeah,
you remember last year, but that storm killed us.
that was
yeah.
in, yeah, it was pretty crazy. So when we went to the Ghost Hunter that year, Trey, he stayed at the house. My folks have a place about an hour and a half away, so we drive. And when we got back and he heard how much fun we had, he wanted to do the next one, no matter where it was. And so where was that one?
Laramie.
Laramie.
That's how I got started.
Very cool. So you heard about all the fun your brother was having, decided to go out to Laramie.
Yep.
And then
Did you
almost
have
beat
any
me.
expectations, or were you just going like was there that brotherly kind of rivalry where I'm going to beat my brother, or was it like, hey, I'm going to help my little brother out and make sure he has fun, or how did that work out?
No, it was a definite competition the whole way through. It was back and forth.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. So, gentlemen, Trey, actually, we'll start with you since we're already talking a little bit. Everyone's going to ask, as a young gun, why did you want to get involved in NRL Hunter besides hearing just how much fun your brother was having? Was there any other reason, or is it just for fun?
It was kind of just for fun and hanging out with a bunch of people and getting to know more people. and a bunch of that stuff.
Nice. That's always a good reason. Community, right?
Yeah.
Make new friends. Tyler, how about yourself, sir?
I just like the shooting, and I heard I got to shoot more, and heard about the challenge, and I was really excited about how challenging it sounded, and that's why I wanted to start, and I wanted to hang out with all the people, meet a bunch of people. I got to meet Chris Way at my first match, and that's all I wanted to do at that match was just meet him.
Is Chris one of the competitors that you look up to?
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
Going to the Ghost Hunter match, we actually had watched the Surviving Man series where Chris had won it.
Right.
And, so we were kind of like following along the whole time and saw that he won that. And then shortly after we finished watching that, we ran into him opening morning Saturday at the Ghost Hunter.
That must have been like a little starstruck moment.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. Chris is a really cool guy. So something you may not know about Chris is his first ever match, NRL match, he borrowed one of our loaner rifles.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he showed up with, and he had submitted the application online to borrow some gear or whatever. I think he did. And we gave him a rifle to compete with, and he placed very well for his first ever NRL. It was a regular NRL match, not NRL Hunter. He did very well, but he had been competing in competition dynamic stuff a little bit before that. But yeah, Chris started off borrowing gear from us as well.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's pretty talented. He's a pretty interesting guy.
He is. He's a very cool guy. So since you started with your matches, Laramie and Ghost Hunter, how many matches have you guys competed in since then? Can you guys count them?
So our first year, we did the Ghost Hunter in Arizona.
Three last year, the first year.
We did Price, Utah, and Laramie, Wyoming.
The first year.
Last year, we did the Ghost Hunter in Arizona. We did Vernal last year for the first time. That was a new match. And it's not too far from our home. It's only around 3 hours or so. So we did that one, then Price. And then Tyler and I did the championship in Laramie. Trey had broke his collarbone at a football camp, so he couldn't shoot. But Tyler and I got to shoot the championships, the finals.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Trey, you broke your collarbone?
Yep.
Tackling or you got hit?
I was tackling, like, practicing on, like, one of those donut dummies.
Ah. I landed wrong. Yeah, that's no fun. Did you have to go into a figure eight?
No, just a sling.
Oh, you got lucky. So I broke mine snowboarding. I hit a dip that I couldn't see because of the sun, and I face planted and snapped my collar in half, and they put me in a figure eight. And I think that was the first time my dad ever heard me say a bunch of bad words.
Yeah, I can imagine. Trey got pretty lucky with his. It was a clean break, and he actually handled it well. He didn't overdo it, and so the bones didn't move. And so he didn't have to have any kind of surgery or anything. It healed pretty well.
Well, and you're young, so your body heals a lot faster than us old guys.
Yeah.
So everyone's going to ask as well. I don't care which one of you guys start first. They're going to want to know what gear, what's your rifle setup look like? What caliber are you shooting? Your optics?
We both shoot the same rifle. We shoot a 6.5 Creedmoor Tika with an XLR or MV Pro chassis. And we shoot a Razor Gen 3 scope, which we got a 30% off discount. Somebody gave me a 30% off discount at the Ghost Hunter match, the first match I shot.
And that's one of the things that's like super amazing about this community. Our first match at the Ghost Hunter, Chris let Tyler walk the prize table in his place. And like I said, we just met him, literally just met him that weekend. And so that was amazingly cool of him. And then we were sitting there, and I think her name is Drew Stilson. I think her name is
Drew. Yeah.
She shot with her husband and in the team division, and they placed really well. And she gave Tyler a 30% off cert for Vortex through
Euro Optic. Yeah.
So that kind of, we didn't have much. Actually, the week before we went to the Ghost Hunter, walked into XLR because they're not far from us. They're in Grand Junction. And I was like trying to kind of figure out, because I'd watched a lot of videos on kind of, you know, what to expect, but I still had no idea. You can only,
Right.
you'll only learn so much from them. And so I thought, man, we're gonna, because we had a plastic stock Tika,
That's where I shot my
and
Ghost Hunter.
I think we had the, didn't we didn't have the XLR then?
I shot factory class at the Ghost Hunter. I shot
You know,
the
I
Tika.
think he's right, actually. I think I got that XLR just after that
I
match.
shot it at Laramie.
Yeah, at Laramie. But yeah, so he shot the very first match with a stock Tika. And he actually shot really good that match. But we've put a little weight on it. We run a suppressor on it, just to make it a little easier on them. And that little bit of extra weight kind of helps with seeing their impacts, because it's so important in this to see your
Right.
impact.
So, for everyone that's listening, that's not familiar with the Young Guns, I kind of talked about it before. It's its own division, but within Young Guns, you can shoot, factory open light or open heavy, which goes up to a 16-pound rifle. We don't within the Young Guns division, we don't break down the classifications. If you're a Young Gun, you're a Young Gun. So, if you guys can get as close to that 16-pound rifle as possible to help mitigate some of that recoil and view impacts, I think that that's fantastic.
Yeah.
The only minus, the only slight minus we have in that is Trey, his first match, he was nine. Yeah, you're nine.
Nine.
And so he didn't have the strength to kind of, like in some of those positions, to be able to control his wobble enough. Because honestly, I mean, I hate to say this, but he's probably the best shot of the three of us.
Uh-oh.
But
It's
with,
on record, Trey. It's on
so
record.
there are some trade-offs a little bit. Like as he gets stronger, he will be able to support the rifle with less wobble in those more difficult positions, if that makes sense.
Right.
Whereas Tyler's kind of gone through a growth spurt. He's grown a lot in the last year and a half. And so he is also a phenomenal shooter. But his ability to steady himself and control his wobble better in some of those unstable positions is much greater.
Right.
And but it's but so you got to kind of play that game a little bit with the trade-off, because you have to the game you have to see impacts. I don't spot for them. I try to help them as little as possible. And that's just me. I think that they will learn more, they will learn faster. I guess probably the most I do is I write down their dope so they don't forget it.
Right.
And then I will try to keep them out of a trap. Like if there's a position that's going to really hurt them, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like don't go there. You know what I mean?
You don't let them fall for the match director tricks.
Yep. That's yeah. As long as I know which ones they are, I fall
Right.
for quite a few of those.
Well, that's, I mean, so again, in the Young Guns, the adult or the guardian with the young gun is allowed to help them out with pretty much everything except the actual manipulation of the rifle. When it comes down to firing. So if they need to help them transition because of their what the weight of the rifle or body strength, so on and so forth, they're allowed to. They can help them figure out their dope. They can help spot and call impacts and wind and all that kind of stuff. Because there's a lot of young guns who aren't experienced enough to be able to do that on their own. But we want them to gain that experience. So we let, you know, mom, dad, guardian, whatever, help them figure that out. The fact that your boys are pretty much competing on their own, you know, for all intents and purposes, when they get to the stage is pretty awesome.
Yep. I only had a little trouble spotting in Laramie just on a couple of unstable positions, but everywhere else, I've been able to see my impacts. So he's going to help us a little more with spotting this year, I think.
Nice. How long have you been shooting for, Tyler?
Well, I shot my first gun when I was 4 years old. My grandpa took me out and I shot a old 22 he's got that's like 100 years old. And I shot it off the, we went over the hill and I just shot it into a dirt pile. And then I've been shooting ever since.
Did you
First
just
gun
call your
I
grandpa 100 years old?
No, just the gun.
You
He
know he's
got
going
a
to be
big grandpa.
listening.
Yeah.
Trey, how about you, sir?
I just started shooting BB guns and stuff when I was like 4 years old. Then I started shooting like 22s and stuff, and that's how I got into it.
Very cool. So, as you can imagine, as an individual, if Ted, if you're doing this on your own, the costs for being, in a competition, but having the right hunting gear and everything is expensive. But then when you multiply it by three, I mean, it's not necessarily three times expensive. Sometimes it's four or five times more expensive.
It
How
can be
does that
pretty
work?
overwhelming.
How does that work in the family dynamic that all three of you go out? I mean, you said you share a rifle, the boys do.
Yep, the boys share a rifle. I have an amazing, understanding wife who supports us and these crazy endeavors we go on 100%. She actually went to the championships with us to watch and really, really enjoyed it. And so that helps a lot, having someone that really can back you up and not give me a hard time as
For
I'm
sure.
spending money. So the other difficulty is the time. So the boys shoot factory Hornady 140 ELDM.
Okay.
I just don't have the time to reload for all of us.
Right.
I am revisiting that. I tried some 147s that we had here at the house in the boys' Tika yesterday, actually, because I was just curious. Tyler, I didn't realize, but Tyler lost a few spots in a tie at the finale. And their Tikas shoot really slow, and so their power factor is pretty low.
Right.
And so I thought, well, let's try the 147s that we have and kind of see where we're at there. And it actually shoots pretty good. So I might have them shoot 147s this year, and then I might get kind of into the reloading a little bit more. My process is getting better with the reloading, so that'll give me a little more time. I'm pretty new to this. I haven't been doing this a really long time, and as far as the cost thing is, I'm extremely hyper focused on what we need.
Okay.
I'm pretty disciplined in that manner. That doesn't mean I go a little crazy sometimes and buy stuff that maybe we can go without, but it's I try to stay focused. Shooting the Tika helps a lot. The XLR chassis that we shoot are just they're great because you can adjust the weight on them. With what we have, we've been fortunate. Like I said, that first Ghost Hunter match, having Tyler walk the prize table early with Chris's donation, and then Drew giving us that gift, that cert, that helped tremendously.
Right.
That was a big deal, especially when we were getting out and kind of trying to figure out what direction we were going to go into and how much we were going to shoot.
Right.
We're planning on shooting at least four matches this year with the boys, and I may try to get out and shoot one or two more on my own with a couple of friends. And so you can like so the first match, the Ghost Hunter, I think it was Brian Neese and his partner that won it as a team, and Brian was top loading his partner's rifle. Am I remembering that correctly?
So probably I'm not going to say that you're wrong because I've been to so many matches I can't remember the little details
Right.
like that,
For
but
some reason,
probably it
I
sounds
really
right.
remember reading that somewhere, and I've seen we've met so many people in this community is unbelievable. But you can literally go out there, like Rusty here, Rusty Elmer.
Yep.
I met him at the Ghost Hunter. He is an amazing dude. Love that guy. He kicks everybody's butt with the stock Tika.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you can control your costs in this game a little bit. Especially starting out, you don't need all the crazy gear. You don't have to have it. It can help you in certain situations, and it can help you improve maybe a little bit faster. But if you're fairly skilled, I mean, what Rusty does is just, I mean, that guy's a stud.
So there's a handful of guys that I've met over the years doing this, and I started my precision rifle career in 2014. So I've been doing this for a long time. There are very few people like Rusty that actually exist. He is like a phenomenon. Chris Way is another one. I mean, Chris doesn't have, quite the record that Rusty has, but how fast Chris has picked it up and how fast he has learned. Chris, if he continues to do all of this, which I'm sure he will, is going to be phenomenal. But I mean, Rusty's older than you are, Ted.
he's got me by a little bit. Yeah. So he is one of the nicest people on the planet. He is such a great guy. Well, when I wrote a couple of posts on the socials to kind of try and figure out gear wise what we need to bring. And I do remember now, Tyler did shoot a factory Tika because we didn't have enough mags to possibly shoot a stage. Because I think the factory rifle, the one he was shooting, came with a five round. And
with 10 rounds.
No, that was a CTR.
We had the CTR.
Oh, that's right. We went to a CTR. I'm sorry. We went to a CTR. But before we went to the CTR, Rusty had replied to the post and said, I've got plenty of mags. If you need them, I'll bring them to the Ghost Hunter.
Right.
So, yeah. The community, as far as like helping with information, helping with gear, it's amazing.
And you know, that's what it's really all about. There's the precision rifle in whole, whether it's NRL Hunter or PRS or NRL 22 or whatever it is. The community is really there to empower the individual to become better. Right. I'm not the best shooter in the world. I never, you know, that's not my goal. I don't try to beat Matt Allwine or Rusty Ulmer. I don't think I'll ever get to that level, but I've definitely become a better shooter, better hunter, by doing this. And that's, you know, that's what I want to do. Those are my goals. Right.
Well, it is crazy how much it has changed the way we think about hunting.
This has improved my hunting a lot. I'm really glad with this NRL Hunter. Really helps with the hunting skills a lot.
So can you do me a favor and expand on that a little bit? Because if I'm not mistaken, you guys have had a pretty good season.
Yeah, I shot a nice 6 point this year, and 413 yards was where he was at, and took three shots to get him down. But the positions and how we shot him prone, and it just helped a lot. Thank you, Jaden. Really did a lot, helped me out with that hunt. That was awesome.
Yeah, Jaden from XLR. Long story short, Trey had his Super Bowl football game that Saturday morning of opening morning, and then we were surprising him because the Kansas City Chiefs are his favorite team, even though he lives in Colorado. We surprised him with tickets to the Kansas City Broncos game. And so we had to leave right away after that game. Long story short, Jaden had offered to take Tyler opening weekend for elk hunting. And Jaden is amazing. If those of you that don't know Jaden, he works for XLR. He is one of the coolest dudes, phenomenal shooter. But he's just one of the best dudes you'll ever meet. And he was nice enough to take Tyler with him. They did some scouting. They got into some elk. And they did Tyler learned a ton because this was a different kind of hunt than he'd normally done. He learned quite a bit.
A lot. Mm-hmm. The NRL hunters just helped a ton with, like last year, I shot a really big 2 point buck. Mule deer, and after we shot it, I shot it standing up, leaned up against the shed, and then second shot I shot off a log like you would an NRL hunter. So it was like props. It was super helpful. I was super steady with the whole thing, and just NRL hunters made me steadier and just a better hunter overall, just with the shots I take, better shot shooter and everything.
Nice.
And to me, the animal looks giant compared to the targets we judge.
It does. Targets like this, and animals are giant. So,
well, if we give you big targets, it's going to make it easier for you to miss. If we give you small targets when you shoot that big animal, it's going to be so much easier, right?
Uh-huh. Yep. Nice. Target size of the vitals is easier to go and hit a bigger buck, like a buck with a vital size when you shoot small targets, and just helps you pick small targets on the buck where you can hold an aim.
Yes, sir. So I'm super like happy for you on your elk hunt, and I'm super jealous, like in a good way, because I have never shot a bull elk before. And so when I saw you, so quick side note, Jaden just texted me. We're talking about him, and his ear must be, he literally just texted me.
That's awesome.
So, I'll get to you later, Jaden. but I've never shot a bull elk before, and so that's like on my list. So the fact that you got that accomplished at such a young age is freaking awesome.
This was the first legal bull I've ever seen while hunting elk. Every other elk has been spikes. And spikes aren't legal in Colorado, so.
Well, from the picture, it looked like something to be very proud of.
I'm super happy with this, yeah. Yep, very happy.
Nice. I've been very fortunate, and my first bull was a small, really like good-looking little 6x6. And the first thing he said when he got back was, "I beat your first bull." So well, it's always a competition.
So I saw it. So obviously I saw your pictures on social media and so on and so forth. And I actually was talking to Jaden the other day, and I'm like, how hard is it for an out-of-stater to get tags in Colorado? Well, maybe I need to come to Colorado next season and see if I can get one of them there bulls.
Yeah.
It's not hard to get the tag. They're just expensive.
Very expensive.
Yeah. It's kind of that way anywhere you go with bull elk. So you know, I'll pay for the opportunity to have the chance to hunt something like that. I can't do it every year, but when I can, you know, when I can afford it, you know, it's something that it's an experience, right? It's, I could pay to go to Disneyland, or I could go pay to go hunt, and I'm going to choose hunting any day over Disneyland. So
I pick hunting. Yeah. I actually just posted one of Tyler's very first elk. Was a cow elk that he had shot, and actually just it came up in my memories today, and these experiences that I have with the kids, like the NRL hunter, like I can't express how much fun we have shooting them. I mean, it's me and the boys walking around some mountainous terrain with backpacks on, our gear, all that stuff, in a way a little bit self-sustained, you know. And it's just such a great experience. It's so much fun. It's such a fun way for me to spend time with my kids. And that same thing like transfers to the hunting. Like I said, that memory came up of Tyler's shot his first elk ever. It was a cow elk. And that was an interesting one. I had a bunch of issues going on at work. And so my phone was blowing up nonstop. And we've got these elk, and I think we spotted them at 900 yards 900 initially. Yards, yeah. And so we're trying to move in. My phone keeps ringing. We finally get to a point we can't get any closer because they're kind of spooked and they're kind of moving. We got to about 450 yards, and Tyler's got his dope dialed and he's ready to go. And I'm like, yeah, you and I. And I'm like, I'm a little bit nervous because of the distance, but I know his capabilities. And my phone's blowing up at the same time. I'm like, I was like so scatterbrained. And he made it. Incredibly impressive shot. What were you, 11? Or no, you were 12. You were 12. Yeah. Colorado hunting is 12. He was 12 years old. And one shot, 450 yards. And she stood, took a couple of steps, and just fell. And it was just, it's such a great memory that I have. All that chaos. And he was just so calm. And he just handled it so well. And I can't wait till Trey will turn 12 next year, so he'll get his first hunt next year. And
I was shaking like crazy.
That's way cool. My first elk was a cow a couple of years ago. And I'm actually hoping to go on another cow hunt before the end of this year, a depot tag with a friend. Since I'm so far this season, I'm eating tag soup. I got to try to fill the freezer, but those experiences, I mean, there's no money in the world that could take place of that experience. In my opinion, I'd rather have those memories and those good times than other things. So that's awesome. Trey, you're turning 12. So what are you going after first? You going to go deer, elk?
Hopefully a cow elk first.
Cow elk first?
I hope I can get a buck tag too.
Nice.
Buck tags are pretty hard to get though. For youth, they're a little easier. But for the unit I'm putting in for, I have 4 preference points and I can't get the tag yet. So hopefully I can get it this next year. It's a 3-year draw and I've got 4 years in it, but don't have it yet.
So probably next year.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yep. If not, I'll go for second choice, maybe. I don't know yet if they've got tags.
Very cool. So do you guys process your own game as well?
We did my bull this year. My deer and my elk we took to a processor.
Nice. So you know how to cut her up and make your fillets and yep. get the back straps and tenderloins and everything out without messing them up?
Yes, sir. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Uh-huh. This is the third cow I've done. My grandpa shot a cow and we did it. My uncle shot one and we did it. So this is my third elk I've done.
All right. So with your elk, when you skin your elk, do you do a gutless method or do you remove the guts and then take the cord? What is your process?
So with Jaden, this is the first time I've ever seen gutless be done. Usually we got them out and then we don't pack them out. We pull them out with a rope and a truck usually.
Smart.
But this year, Jaden I learned how to do gutless. So it was really cool watching that. That was a really cool process. I've never seen it be done before. That was cool.
Yeah, the gutless method is pretty cool. That cow elk that I was talking about, that was the first elk that I was ever doing. I was with Terry Diston and Paul Dallin from Utah. I was hunting in Utah. And so they were kind of guiding me on how to do it because it's the first big game animal I ever shot. And when I had to reach in there to cut out all of the intestines and the heart and all of that, and I had to reach in, my arms were so far in, I couldn't go any further. And I started gagging. Like, it's funny. I was like, oh, I can't reach what I'm
doing. My uncle usually, he'll gag.
I was like, what the heck?
That's awesome.
So it's pretty fun times for sure. You had mentioned earlier that you were planning to do maybe 4 matches this season. Which 4 do you guys have on your site?
We're definitely doing Ghost Hunter again.
Yep. I got your registration for that.
Yep. And then we're going to do Vernal and Price because they're fairly close. So it's easy for us to get to those. Laramie's not the championships now, so we'll go to that one.
Yep.
I think he's going to have it at the same venue, and we really enjoyed that. That was a cool venue. That
was very cool venue. Yeah,
so we're hoping to do that one for sure.
Yeah, he had said that he's going to use that same venue, but on if you're facing down the shooting line, like on stage 19 or 20, that whole property to the right of that, I don't know which direction that would have been, south, I guess, maybe. Okay. I guess that ranch owner was there and loved everything that Colin and everyone was doing. So he opened up all that property to Colin as well. So Colin's got, I don't know how many more acres now to play with.
That's a cool place. That's really cool. And shooting in the wind is, so when we shot Laramie 2 years ago, our first time, a couple of the ROs, I wish I could remember their names. I think they were with Burris. Maybe Sky and
Sky would have been there,
and then a younger gentleman, I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now, but they actually videoed the boys shoot their stage, and it was a 1-position 4 target, and on that one, that wind, it was howling and it was cold and it was howling, and I want to say that I was holding somewhere in the neighborhood of just under a mil for wind. And Tyler shot after me, and he was holding just over...
I was holding a mil and a half.
Mil and a half, roughly. And by the time Trey had gotten to that stage, it was almost 2 mils of the hold. And it was just... it was, and they shot so well, considering that dynamic. It was crazy.
Save the best for last, right, Trey?
Yeah. But yeah, so those are the ones we definitely are going to do. And then I'm trying to maybe add a family trip or maybe Montana.
Yes.
And then I might go to Cody. I'm hearing a lot about Cody.
Okay, so Brittany and I, like, we'll have be sitting around having dinner talking about the season or whatever, and she asks me what my favorite matches are to go to. And I'm like, how the heck do you ask me that? That's like asking me which is my favorite kid. You can't answer that question. Because if I ever got out that I had a favorite match, you know, people are like, yeah, well, whatever, right?
Understood.
But the most beautiful matches as far as scenery that I have been to, Cody is definitely one of the top three, and Montana is one of the top three.
Yeah. We keep hearing about Montana, and we're thinking about taking mom with us and maybe making a little trip out of it, maybe spending a couple of extra days and kind of make a vacation out of it.
So what we would do when we would drive to Montana is we would get up there, do the match, but then we'd spend another day or two on the way back and go through Yellowstone.
Nice. And we've talked about Yellowstone.
Yeah, Yellowstone is epic. I mean, you can get lost in there for, you know, a couple of days. Not lost, but you know what I mean. You have a ton of fun. We saw antelope, we saw elk, we saw bears, we saw bison. We got stuck in a bison traffic, you know, where they were just surrounding the vehicle on the road. I mean, it's a ton of fun. And that was the first year. And then the second year that we were in Montana, we did the same thing. It was so much fun. Unfortunately, I haven't been to Montana the past 2 years just because of schedules with the different matches for Hunter. But that's definitely a good one. But that being said, you can also visit the other side of Yellowstone through Cody.
Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah, I haven't really paid any attention to the logistics.
Yeah, so Cody's not far from, I guess, the opposite, sorry, not the opposite, but the other side of Yellowstone. So you can get to Yellowstone pretty quick from Cody as well.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah, well, I'm looking at the Cody one. I'll probably do, I want to do a couple. I want to do at least one on my own because I want to RO it. I want to see what the top shooters do. I want to learn, like, there's, like, I love how match directors make you think. I love how they pose circumstances that, like, some people immediately see the right thing to do. And then you got guys like me that do pretty well a few stages, and then all of a sudden get to a stage where I make the absolute worst decision possible. Right. And it's that part that I'm trying to work on. I love the mental aspect of the NRL Hunter. I love that problem solving, locate, range, and engage, building good positions. And I love how difficult some of these match directors make a stage. And they're not all that way. You'll just get one or two or three, you know, depending on the match director. They'll kind of make you really think. And it that's the part that I have a love-hate relationship with. I think if I RO a match, I think that watching a lot of shooters go through and seeing the different techniques and seeing you can learn a lot, and you can learn a lot in a shorter period of time.
Absolutely.
And also, like, speaking of ROs, me and the boys in Price, Utah was our second match. We, at that point, we made up these hats. Utah was our second match. Yeah, Price.
Utah. Or Laramie.
Laramie. Oh, that's right. Laramie was our second match because Price was in June.
Price is when we started. Yeah.
So Price, Utah, we started a little tradition, a little family tradition. We got a hat, and then the boys would draw on it, write on it, and stuff like that. And the premise of this was number one RO. We appreciate the ROs so much. And every single stage, the boys thank every RO. It's just, and that should be a given. But at the end of the match, we give a hat to whoever they think was the best RO that match.
That's cool.
And, it's kind of a fun tradition that we started, and we've given it to some great folks. Dorgan's got one. He's unbelievable. Love that guy.
Hold on. You said great folks, and then you said Dorgan. Come
on. I know. I know. That's a.
I'm totally kidding. I love together. Dorgan.
I understand. Blake Falken is unbelievable. Yep. That dude awesome. He's at a bunch, and he ROs him and his brother. They're at a bunch of matches. Matt Hornback, he's just a great dude. We've met him a couple of times now. And then Terry Kishbaugh, a good friend of ours from Grand Junction, he got one. And then at Laramie, we gave it to a guy that we don't know his name. I'm sure you'll know him. He has a very loud voice. He is very tall.
Basil.
Yes, that's it. I call him Basil.
He's all, it's not Basil. I'm all, it is to me, Basil.
That dude's awesome. Love that guy.
He's so loud.
Such a positive attitude.
Yes.
Just love that guy.
He is the first person my wife has met that's louder than me.
His voice carries. His voice carries. On my scorecard for NRL Hunter, I'll write myself a note sometimes of something I should think about or something I should maybe focus on. And at the Price Utah match, I had written down something to effect in capital letters of slow down blank. And it was a one position, four target. I think that he was ROing. And I was like, and I think it was Gophers, and I'm just blowing through this stage. I can't run the bolt any faster.
Right.
I had one more target left or just about to shoot the second target. And he goes, "Sir, on your scorecard, it says slow down." And you have like some ridiculous amount of time left. It was pretty funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we have tons and tons of memories from every match, but we really do appreciate the ROs, and I want to do that. I want to RO a match, and I think with both boys, they're almost at the age like that they could shoot the whole match in one day, but I think it maybe another year, and then we'll do that as a family. We'll RO. I just don't like depending because. You never know, like the weather can be difficult. The terrain might be a little more difficult. It just depends. Right. And so I'm not quite ready for the three of us to RO and shoot a match all in the one day. But that's definitely in our future.
No, that makes sense. As an RO and NRL hunter, you have the opportunity to shoot the entire course of fire on Friday. And then you have to work Saturday and Sunday as an RO. So a RO gets an opportunity to compete for prizes and points, but they have to do everything, you know, at once. So it's very difficult. It's a lot of stress and a lot of different factors that go into that one day. So doing it by yourself is difficult. Doing it with two young gentlemen, you know, that you're keeping an eye on as well and helping out is going to be quite the challenge on top of trying to be competitive. Yeah. So
we're going to wait just a little bit.
ROing is, in my opinion, absolute best way to get better at this sport. Yep. I've ROed more matches than I've shot by far. And being able to watch, like you said, how different people approach stages and how they use their gear and different tricks that they do is priceless. It's free education.
Looking forward to it.
So. All right, young men, what would you say that the hardest part of NRL Hunter is for you?
Trying to move from position to position, probably with tripod and bag. Like if you have a tripod, moving your gun with the tripod, that's probably one of the hard parts. But sometimes when like the four position, one target, four position, those are really hard.
Yes.
Those are probably the hardest for like me because can 15 and 0.8 pound rifle with a bag and then running over trying to set it down and then getting your shot off or that some of the taller stages I'm not tall enough to get up there and see.
You're getting on your tippy toes. I forgot to ask, but now that you mentioned that, and Trey, I want to know your answer, but are you hunting with the same rifle you're competing with, or are they two different rifles?
No, I have a separate rifle. It's okay. A lot lighter.
Okay, that's what I was just curious. If you were backpacking a 16-pound rifle.
No, I have a different rifle I got for my birthday 2 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago, and then I won a chassis for it. So it's right at 9 pounds.
Perfect.
With the squad and everything.
Nice. Yeah, I'm a lot bigger and heavier than you, and my hunting rifle's 9 pounds. So, yeah. Trey, what about you, sir?
Probably finding the targets and shooting off a tripod, like a bunch of that stuff.
Okay, so Chris Way is like a master at tripod shooting. Mm-hmm. Have you watched any of his videos about tripod shooting?
A little, not a ton, but a little, yes.
So that would be a great resource to watch or to listen to his podcasts about how he does that. He's got that down to a science. And I'll tell you this. So you guys know Matt Allwine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His Achilles heel is, one of his Achilles heels, I guess, is shooting off of a tripod. So my claim to fame is I beat Mount Alwine shooting off a tripod, but that's the only way I'll ever beat that guy.
boy, those kids of his, holy cow.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's a hunting family there. Holy smokes.
Yeah. Did you see, I lost count of how many animals they put up this season.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, Matt. I did give him a little crap at one of the, matches we were at one of the hunter matches we were at. I'd asked him where was Mert, because obviously those two boys could handle anything that the animal hunter could throw at them. And so I was giving him a little crap about that. But it is so great to see kids at the hunter matches and just like kids hunting in general.
Absolutely.
It's not, you know, hunting in Colorado seemed like it was slowing a little bit before COVID. And then after COVID, it's really, we've got a lot of hunters out here now.
Yeah.
It's great to see the kids out there. NRL Hunter is an amazing way to teach kids certain skills that you can't teach in the field at the time.
Right.
It's just the learning curve is so fast. Like we're like the hunting rifle Tyler has right now, as they get stronger, I can see him going to open light. It's something that I'd like to try also, just for, you know, just to test my skills, but I'm not quite there yet. And because I've always shot, you know, plastic stock hunting rifle. And now there's no way I'm taking that in the field with me. You know what I mean? I mean, the chassis, being able to run the tripod, it just opens up a whole new world of ethical, more, it's not easier, but it's a more.
You have better tools for the job.
Absolutely. A more successful opportunity. It's crazy how much we've learned and how much we've changed the way we think about hunting.
It's funny because, you know, hunting and even during the hunter matches, you know, competition, the hard part is that opportunity. It's building that right position. It's getting on target fast enough. The trigger pulling and actual, you know, that the firing of that round at that moment isn't the hardest part.
No.
To hunting or to competition, to hunter competition. So there's a lot of different skill sets that go into everything, which you guys seem to be picking up on pretty dang quick.
Yeah, they're both really good. They don't get to shoot center fire a lot, but they do. They're both in 4-H, so they get to shoot their 22s quite a bit. And they're getting big into the archery side of things now. They belong to a couple of different organizations, so they're shooting a ton of archery now. Winter is kind of where we transition them into archery. But yeah, it's fun. They're always busy. I wish they could practice more of the center fire, because I think they're both really talented. But like, as you know, it you got to practice.
Do you guys have, or are you guys familiar with the DFAT system?
I do have one. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
And we do a little bit of dry fire. I'm kind of setting up the yard. I have some little 22 targets that I used to practice with, and I just have them kind of laying around the yard to use to locate and and kind of dry fire practice on while it's still nice out. And then I'm going to bring the deep fat. I got it last year, but we didn't use it in the summer. We're going to try and use it this winter a little bit.
It's a great tool for when you're kind of, you know, trapped inside, so to speak, just to be able to try it. I use it for trying positions that I'm not comfortable in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I don't want to go into some weird yoga position while I'm at a match, but you know, I could practice it when I get back home and reaffirm that, yeah, I'm not flexible enough to do that.
I like the weird positions. And Price, last year I shot one left-handed because I couldn't get the gun into my right shoulder. So I had right. to shoot it left-handed.
Nice. So I'm going to ask you guys, because you guys can't get in. I don't think you guys can give a wrong answer here. Like, no one's going to get mad at what your answer is. And if they do, then I'll get mad at them. What's your favorite matches?
Laramie is my favorite. Last year, the championship, that was just such a cool venue and just great terrain, great positions, great target spots. And it was just an awesome match. That and the Arizona Ghost Hunter matches are my favorite.
Nice.
Ghost Hunter is super challenging with finding and positions. So I like that aspect, but I like the Laramie, the spot where it's at.
Yeah, the Laramie venue is pretty epic.
Yeah, they're very epic.
I would probably do the first Laramie, my first match, and Arizona.
Nice.
Those two are really fun.
Yeah, those are.
I have a love-hate relationship with Arizona. It's a very difficult match, and I love it. But I also love Price. I like these kids. They find targets so easy. It's ridiculous. I mean, they'll be walking up. And they're like, oh, Dad, I already see the one. I'm like, how do you see the one? I don't understand. And it's so I like Price because it's a little bit easier to find the targets. And then he tests you more with the positions. And so I you know, match directors do things differently. And I like, that's why I like them both. Arizona, obviously it's our first match, so it has some sentimental value there. But just like the difficulty, my very first stage in Arizona, first NRL Hunter, was stage 12. And I hate this part, but I kind of saw a couple of videos. So I'm like, all right, you got to give yourself enough time to build a position and shoot, right?
Right.
So I'm looking, I see the first target because you got a placard and I got it. And I'm looking for that second target. And it doesn't seem like I'm taking that much time. And I abandon target two. I lay in this weird, busted up tree something. I don't even know how to describe it.
Right.
Close the bolt on target one. Beep. Time. I'm like, are you kidding me? It was unbelievable. And things changed dramatically after that first stage. But what a wake-up call. It was just so wild. And obviously I'm not as experienced as a lot of guys, but you know, I don't care. I'm there to have a great time, enjoy my kids, enjoy the community. And so that's why like I love Arizona, because that difficulty, you got to think, you got to use your brain, you got to figure stuff out, you got to problem solve. And then Price, I get to find the targets a little bit more, and then it's more problem solving where it's less target acquisition, if that makes sense.
No, it's cool because each match brings its own character to the table. I like it because a lot of the places that we have matches are actual places that I want to hunt.
Yeah.
So being able to go and see those terrain, you know, see that type of terrain and the environment and so on and so forth is great intel for me. You know, it gives me a better idea of what's going on. But it's definitely like, we, believe it or not, we have a lot of East Coast people that have signed up as members for 2024 that want to come out and figure out what Western hunting is all about, because East Coast hunting is a lot different than West Coast hunting.
I can imagine.
So, I mean, I've had the opportunity to hunt, you know, not even East Coast, but with Isaiah Curtis in Missouri, and he has a match, the Vortex Whitetail match. And you could take a, you know, some far shots, but I've also taken shots under 200 yards, you know, out here in the West, I've never seen an animal where I could shoot under that distance unless, you know, I was on an archery hunt where it's, there's not so much pressure yet or something, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's really, they're really two different, you know, three different worlds, depending on where you're hunting, in the States.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
I want to see you two shoot as a team.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun. Mm-hmm. I'd love to shoot it. Yeah, I'd love to do that.
I think you should.
Come on, you're creating an issue for me. Now I got to get another rifle. Sharing the rifle kind of helps a little.
We got rifles that you guys could use. I'll set up a rifle and an XLR for you, so it feels nice and comfortable. And you said you had a Vortex optic.
Yeah, Vortex.
A Razor, or what optic you have?
It was the Razor. Yep, the Razor.
Gen okay, 3. I have a Razor Gen 2, so it'll be close enough.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought about the two of them shooting as a team. I've always thought about shooting with them as a team, with one of them, or you know, at different times. But I haven't even really thought about that. That is interesting.
It'd be fun.
I think you two
yell at each other, though. I mean, how'd that go? I'd kill.
I would love to see. I think I'm trying to recollect here. I am 90% sure that if you two did it, you'd be the first young gun team to shoot an NRL Hunter match.
Yeah, I'll bet you.
I don't think I've ever seen a young gun Hunter team.
Yeah, now you got me thinking.
Now you got me thinking too.
Possibilities, right?
Yeah. The team division is something that I think you've met my buddy Dewey Ryan. We brought him out to a couple of matches. He's going to come out to Arizona with us. I've kind of bugged him a little bit about possibly shooting it as a team with me. I'm just trying to get just a little bit better. So I don't, it's weird, but for myself, I'm competitive, but I'm also realistic.
Right.
And like, I don't want to kind of let it, he's a good shooter. Like he's really good. And I don't want to let him down. You know what I mean? And so I just need to get a couple of my, or maybe pick the right match. I don't know, but I just want to get my skills a little bit better to be able to kind of be more helpful. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yes and no. So the dynamic of the team is such a way that your skill set can be helpful besides just pulling the trigger. If that makes sense, right? So the team is the best way I think that teams work is when they complement each other's weaknesses. So if I go and I shoot with Chris Way, Chris is by far a better shooter than I am, right? So I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure he is successful in getting his shots off.
Yeah.
Right. Whether I'm going first or he's going first, you know, that dynamic might change a little bit as far as who's shooting first. But his time management, his everything is great and he's fast. So I'm going to work to his advantage to make sure he's as successful as possible. And then he's going to know what my weaknesses are to make sure that I'm set up as good as possible. Right. So yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean that I have to be a great shooter when I go into it. It just means that we have to know how to work with each other to make sure that we're as successful as possible.
Right. Okay.
Right. The other part of that is when you miss, say, hey, I was just saving that one for you, bro.
That's perfect. That's another reason I want to RO though, too, is I want to see how teams kind of handle it, you know, and how they in real time. I've seen some videos, you know,
right.
But I'd love to see, like, you know, because you're going to see every team come through and just see the differences and how they handle. Because like, if I was to shoot a team with him, again, I shoot fairly fast. So I would think that it would benefit us for me to go first. That way he gets a better win call and I'm not going to take a ton of time. So he's going to have as much time as he needs. You know what I mean? He does shoot ever so slightly.
That changes, though, because your wind, when you go up first, you're going to take approximately 2 minutes, right? So with teams, you have 6 minutes. So the way I break it down in teams is you have 2 minutes to find in range, 2 minutes for shooter one, and 2 minutes for shooter two. Your 2 minutes, what your wind is versus what his 2 minute course time is, can be completely different.
Okay. That's interesting. I never thought about that.
Right. So if we go to Wyoming, because we know how volatile Wyoming weather is.
Crazy.
I could be holding a mil and a half. My partner might have to hold 2 mils. My wind call for him is nothing, means nothing. It was absolutely pointless.
Right. Huh. That makes sense.
Now I'm gonna have to the changes, it can change that fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you go to Cody, where we shoot in Cody, I'm pretty sure we're using the same facility. We are literally above the clouds. I mean, it literally at that match, it went from nice and beautiful shooting to next second, it's completely fogged over. You can't see anything.
Wow.
So my wind call, and then by the time you got up there to shoot, would mean absolutely nothing because we had to wait 30, 40 minutes for the fog to clear.
That's interesting. Huh. Is it higher elevation? Or it's just that kind of a valley?
I don't remember what the elevation is there. It's a higher elevation, but we are shooting literally on a mountainside, down a mountain, and then right behind us is another mountain.
That's cool.
So it's, I mean,
I've heard it's just gorgeous.
Yeah. Like if I owned that property and I had money to that, like I would build a house there. That's how beautiful it is right there. I mean, it's cool. Absolutely gorgeous.
Nice.
So but the team thing, I think the strategy to teams is complementing each other's weaknesses, not trying to, I think you'd be better off if you were trying to help him with wind calls, you'd be better off getting on glass right away to give him a more accurate wind call.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because it's easier to spot that way and kind of keep him, yeah.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah, there's different strategies to teams and whatnot. It's a lot of fun. I think you guys should definitely try it.
That would be cool.
That'd be really cool.
We might do that. They're nodding a lot. Yeah, I think that might happen.
That'd be really cool.
Heck yeah, why not, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
All right, so we have the 2024 season coming up. We've been talking about it a little bit. What goals do you guys have set for yourselves, if any?
I'm going to try and improve my shooting even more this year and try practice a lot more before, because last year I had barely any practice before the matches. And I feel like if I had a little more practice, I could have shot better. But I'm going to try and win some more matches. And my goal is to win enough parts to build a new rifle for hunting.
For hunting or for competition?
For hunting. I'm going to try and build a 7 PRC.
Nice.
Yep.
My goal is to just beat him.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, just at one match, just to beat him.
Just one? Why not all four?
Well, hopefully all four, but I'll be happy with one.
There you go.
You guys have tied one match, right?
Tied at the Ghost Hunter.
Yeah, they tied at the Ghost Hunter. And then
that's the horrible part. You guys tied using the same rifle, so we couldn't even decide a tiebreaker because it's the car factor.
Need to shoot two different rifles so we can have tiebreakers.
Take it easy.
Hey, Christmas is right around the corner, Dad.
Yeah, we've got a Black Friday list. That brings up something I didn't even think about till we talked about Christmas. You do it. I think it needs to be more said about how much you do for this community and how much your help brings phenomenal sponsors. Like, we have been fortunate enough. We talked about Sammy and Ben from SIG. Those guys are awesome. Love those guys.
That's awesome.
Tyler's been fortunate enough to win a couple of certs from the Preferred Barrels guys.
Oh, yeah.
Rylan and his brother have been in squads with us amazing, amazing people.
Amazing barrels too.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. We've been fortunate enough. Those guys are just awesome. Marshall, I listened to the podcast that you did with him. Just super nice people. And we've met so many of them. Molly from Maven. Trey was able to get a scope off one of the prize tables.
Dude, you got a Maven scope?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's awesome. Yeah. She's just wonderful. The Leopold guys are there all the time. It's just it's hard to express, because I go back to this a lot, how wonderful, fun this community is. We meet these people, and these boys are really outgoing and stuff. They get that from their mom. And so they interact a lot with these folks, and just kind of like, they're kids. So sometimes in certain like situations, they might not get the love or, you know, might get blown off or whatever. But in this community, they're like they're treated like, you know, like equals. They're accepted into the community. They're, you know, helped, or, you know, it's just so neat, like kind of experiencing all this with them and meeting the people that we've met. It's just been awesome.
No, it's very true. I mean, our community is bar none. You know, the secret to the youth is kind of multifaceted. It's not really a secret, but the youth, why we embrace the youth so much, is they're our future.
100%.
Right? If we don't teach our youth, young guns, young men, young women, about hunting or firearm safety, things of that nature, it's going to go away.
Yeah.
Right? Not to get into politics, but they're already trying to, you know, make it more difficult than it should be for our, right?
Especially where we're at here in Colorado. It's
California.
Oh, yeah.
Right behind. I was gonna say right behind you or leading the way. I don't know. We kind of go back and forth.
Yeah, it's tough.
It is. So, you know, building a future for the shooting sports, for hunting, for conservation, for firearm safety. If we're not doing that, then we're not doing our duty, right? We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing as adults, as parents, or, you know, as ambassadors of the sport. Number two is, when I come to Colorado next year and I shoot that big giant bull elk, I'm calling the kids to pack it out.
Darn straight.
Perfect. I'll yep. come help
that's,
you.
That's what we're raising these kids for. My back's not carrying that bull out.
Darn straight. Yep. And they're up for the challenge.
No, it's the youth program, the ladies program, is very important to our community, because you know, the guys, we've been into this day one, you know, whatever. And it's great to have the guys out there doing things and learning and being better. But again, it's more women need to be involved, more young guns need to be involved. We have sponsors putting together different programs for the young guns this season. There's a lot of different things that we're trying to do to help grow that young gun division. And the ladies division, but again, primarily the young guns, because they're the future, man.
Absolutely. I love every bit of it. It's awesome. And you guys are doing a great job.
Well, we appreciate it for sure.
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you guys for coming out and having fun. So I've heard you guys winning. We're almost done here. We're running out of time, but you said that you need a second rifle, but you've already got a scope. You guys have already taken all this stuff. What are you missing?
Well, we have a second rifle. I could shoot my hunting rifle.
Yeah, we could do that.
And it kicks less than our competition rifle, too. Yeah. So
we could probably make it work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just curious what you guys are missing. There's a lot of people that listen to this podcast that like to support the youth.
I said, I'm very hyper focused on our goal, on what we need, and so I'm always trying to stay in that realm. Tyler wants to build that hunting rifle for next year. As far as what we've got for NRL Hunter, it wouldn't be bad for them to have two rifles as they get older. I think right now that sweet spot of that one rifle is perfect, just because it's like Trey's only 11. So carrying that rifle around all day between the two of them isn't too bad yet. It's kind of easy. As far as we are looking at some lightweight options for a scope. Cause like I said, it's changing the way we think about hunting also. So right. we always kind of ride that line where we're right about 16 pounds. And so kind of looking at a lightweight scope option down the road, especially for the hunting side of it. The scopes that we have are not lightweight. No,
no, the Vortex are tanks. They're, I mean, they'll stand through anything. They're great scopes, but they are not light, unfortunately.
Yeah. And so that's one thing that we're kind of looking forward for in the future. The XLRs are great. We've had great luck with those. So we're going to kind of stick with those. I actually got a magnesium this year for my hunting setup.
Nice.
I'm going to kind of play with that a little bit. And I'm actually changing my setup a little bit this year for the hunter. And I'm going to run the magnesium with a little bit different setup than I've run last year. And so I don't know. We're still kind of, I'm actually still kicking around a couple of things on how we're going to do. We've got, you know, a little bit of time before the ghost hunter. And so we're going to kind of kick around a couple of ideas on what we're going to do.
Awesome. Well, we are just about almost to that hour time frame, right around there somewhere. Is there anything that you guys wanted to say to all of our listeners out there?
Thank you, everybody, for helping us out. And thanks for giving me crap. Brian, what's his last name?
Brian. Toman.
Toman, yeah, thank you.
I don't know what that was about, but okay.
He struck up a really good friendship with one of the shooters that we met at, it might have been one of the first.
Price.
Price, yeah. And they give each other a lot of crap, and they have a lot of fun together.
Good.
What about you?
Just thank you, and thanks for your support.
Thank Absolutely. You, Jane, for taking me hunting, too. Thank you for all the help.
And I want to thank you, Travis. What you do, the amount of time you've got to put in to make this successful. I mean, there's a bunch of new matches on the list for this year, which is great because we want to shoot more matches. we appreciate that. You know, thanks so much to all the sponsors, the ROs. We've met so many people. We've had so much fun. It's just something we continue to enjoy doing, and we're going to keep at it.
Nice. Well, again, I appreciate you guys taking the time to be on the show today. It's really cool. You guys are the first young guns I've had on the show, and this was awesome. So thank you so much for helping us make that happen. So we're super excited to see you guys out there competing and having fun. I'll see you guys at the Ghost Hunter. And until then, man, you guys keep shooting and be safe.
We look forward to it, Travis. Thank you.
Thank you,
guys. All right, for all of our listeners, we appreciate you tuning in. We hope you enjoyed today's show. As always, keep shooting, be safe. We'll see you all at the range, nrlhunter.org. Thanks so much.